Looking after your newborn. In this section, we will cover how to understand your newborn and care for them. We will also look at how to help your baby understand the world, thrive, and get them on their way to become a little confident and independent person. Even in these early days, your tiny baby is learning what it's like to be human in the world. They are developing a sense of self, and it is a very important, magical time. Their nervous system and brain take note of all their experiences to make sense of this strange new world. Some neuroscientists refer to this time as unrememberable and unforgettable. How to comfort your baby. In the first few months of life, your baby is still very much an extension of your body and is reliant on you for everything. Newborns have been in darkness, kept warm, cozy, and held closely in your womb. And now they need to adapt to brightness, a colder temperature, and a scarily spacious environment. This takes time, and even though your baby isn't inside you anymore, they are still very much an extension of your body. The time after birth is often called the fourth trimester to recognise that your baby is still dependent on you. It is good to think of your baby as still being a part of you at this time, because they need your body, warmth, and comfort a lot. Please don't worry about making a rod for your own back or holding them too much. Newborn babies need to adapt to life outside the womb gradually, and it's okay to hold them, have skin to skin, and be with them a lot. Research shows that the more babies are held, feel close to someone and safe, the more independent they become later on in life. During the fourth trimester, your baby's environment is important. So let's look at three key things you can use to help your baby feel safe and calm. Touch, closeness, and warmth. Familiar sounds. Your face. Touch, closeness, and warmth. Touch is crucial for newborns. In your or your partner's arms, your baby feels safe and supported. Their little muscles relax and their breathing deepens. Holding your baby close, rocking and stroking your baby gives them the best feeling in the world. What is going on here biologically is communication between your nervous systems through soothing touch. If you are cuddling and stroking your baby in a relaxed state, your baby is more likely to be calm and relaxed as they are learning this from your body. This communication between your bodies works best in skin-to-skin contact and is one of the reasons the World Health Organization recommends skin-to-skin at birth, but also in the weeks following birth. If you watch most babies or young children, they will often put their hands up or down mum's top to touch her skin rather than her clothing. Although this isn't always ideal when you're having a civilised conversation and your baby decides to show everyone your mum tum, it is an expression of instinctive behaviour for babies. You may also have mixed feelings about your mum tum, but remember, your baby only ever feels and notices the softness, nourishment, and warmth of your body. Your baby will never ever judge your body or how you look because you and your baby are such a precious source of comfort. Your baby's little body can struggle to regulate and generate enough heat, but warm babies do most things better. They feed better, stabilize their blood sugars, heart rate, and breathing, and can spend their precious energy resources on growing and developing. The perfect place for your baby to be kept warm is in skin to skin with you, your partner, birth partner, or relative. There are also long-term benefits of touch. It has been shown that lots of physical contact increases brain development in the first 6 months of life. When studied, long-term evidence of improved cognitive ability was shown at 8 years of age, compared to a baby who has received limited physical interaction. Rebirthing. Samantha Pantlin from The Naked Midwife said, When you are 4 to 5 weeks into your recovery and any stitches are healing well, run a lovely warm bath, and if safe to do so, place candles around the bathroom. Then get into the bath with your baby. This is such a lovely thing to do, kind of like a rebirthing, if you will. The baby will love it, as the environment is dark, warm, and they are in the warm water. What's not to love? Familiar sounds. Newborns have been very used to hearing the sound of your heartbeat, your digestive system, and your voice. Your baby will recognise and prefer your voice at birth to any other. Talking to your newborn helps to calm and comfort them, as well as readying them for future language acquisition. Although muffled, babies can hear all sorts of sound while in the womb. Having the TV on or playing white noise is often comforting for newborns, as they will recognise it from their time with you in the womb. I know it doesn't always look like it, but your baby is listening to everything you are saying and is paying close attention to your voice. Chat away to your baby when you're changing their nappy or going about your day. Tell them what you're doing, because they will go on to make the association between specific words and what is happening as they grow. Language is such a huge part of our self-expression, and your baby learns so much from your voice, your expressions, and your use of language. Some studies have shown that children in families of disadvantaged backgrounds hear around 600 words per hour on average, whereas children from wealthier backgrounds can hear up to 2,100 words per hour. The most encouraging thing from these findings is the fact that the financial situation is not always what gives children from wealthier backgrounds an advantage. It's the amount of interaction they get, and that is free. Whooshing sounds. During pregnancy, the sound of your blood whooshing around your body is really loud to a baby, and it is there all the time. Babies are used to sound, and silence can be unnerving to them. Noise can help calm babies down, especially sounds that mimic the whooshing of the womb, and this is probably why parents instinctively say shh to calm a crying baby. Your face. Research has proven time and time again that newborns are naturally drawn to faces. For your baby, the world is initially a little out of focus and more difficult to work out. But they can start to recognise your face from as early as 3 weeks old. So get up close to your baby's face and become recognisable. It is amazing that they have such a strong preference for something they have never seen before. I was driving along the motorway once, thinking about how mind-blowing tiny humans are and what it's like to be a newborn baby, when something suddenly occurred to me. They have never, ever seen one of the most important things in our lives. A face. I started to think about all the babies that I have held up close and inspected and watched them gaze at me and my face until their mum spoke. Then I was less interesting. Babies will often sit and stare at their mums, almost as though they are thinking, "So you're the face of my whole world." After my motorway realisation, I researched their ability to recognise their mums further and found an experiment that made me cry. Happy tears, though. Are you ready? In Scotland, two new mums that had similar hair and skin colour were asked to sit next to each other behind a clear plastic screen to mask their smell. The newborn babies, only 4 days old, were brought into the room separately and held 30 centimetres away from the women's faces. An independent observer watched as the babies looked from one woman to the other, before eventually fixating on one woman. Both babies appeared to know who their mum was and gazed at her with adoration. Heart-melting. I'm asked about bonding by a lot of mums in the first few weeks, especially if they are worried that they are not bonding with their baby. This worry is often linked to eye contact and facial expressions. It's normal not to get much eye contact or real interaction before the first 6 weeks, because babies don't have good control over their eye coordination and see the world in more of a 2D effect. It's not until around 6 to 8 weeks that babies start to become more expressive, maintain eye contact, or smile. As they grow, they quickly learn how to control their face more and what these facial expressions mean. But in those first 6 weeks, they are looking, learning, and taking it all in. Human biology and genetic predisposition lay the foundations for cognitive development, thinking ability. Babies are such adaptive little creatures and really thrive in positive, stimulating, and fun environments. They love and look for patterns from birth. Simple things like smiling and interacting through body language helps them learn and understand things for themselves. It's not until 18 months to 2 years of age that they develop a sense of self. But as newborn studies have consistently shown, they will turn their heads to look at face-shaped patterns and normal faces over faces where the position of the features has been distorted. They also spend longer looking at them. It is as though they are born with an innate face detector, and the most interesting face of all to them is yours, Mama. It might take several weeks for you to get the type of human interaction that you need to feel rewarded and reassured that you are doing all the right things. In between that time, just know how special you are, how important your touch, voice, and your face are to your newborn. It won't be long before you'll get those smiles, gargles, and more back from your interactions. Know that nothing is going to waste, and all of your attention is being absorbed into that deliciously smelling little head. A healthy newborn. At your postnatal appointments or home visits, midwives do a basic and easy assessment of your newborn by looking at these key things. All of these give us a good picture of how well a newborn baby is. Does the baby look well perfused? This meaning, are they a good colour? Are they warm? We touch the tummy and the back of the neck, not the hands and toes, to check the core temperature. Are they weeing and pooing regularly? Does the cord stump look okay, or is it smelly and red? Are they alert and awake at times during the day? Is the baby waking for feeds and feeding well? Are they responsive to being disturbed? And do they have good muscle tone? A further word on skin colour. When your baby is inside you, they have a high red blood cell count to keep hold of as much oxygen as possible. They break down these red blood cells after birth, but the byproduct of the breakdown is bilirubin, which can cause jaundice. Sometimes jaundice comes and goes, and in some lights a baby can look quite yellow, but in others they can look fine. Babies that feed well generally flush out any jaundice themselves through feeding, weeing, and pooing. Your midwife will check for jaundice and keep an eye on bilirubin levels with a special monitor if needed. But if you are ever worried about your baby's colour between visits, you can always call your midwife. Second night syndrome. I wouldn't be surprised if you have never heard of second night syndrome. Most new parents have a pretty tough night of their baby being restless in that first week after birth, and it's usually on the second night. It's not a real syndrome, don't worry. More of a figure of speech generated from the constant crying, waking, and needs of a newborn. There's a theory, not scientifically proven, that during the first 24 hours, babies fall into a deep sleep after the effort and stress that birth can bring. And when they wake up, they become more aware that life as they knew it has gone, and they feel hunger for the first time. This new supercharged environment with sensory overload is a lot to take in. There's also another theory that the regular need for comfort and feeding is a newborn baby's way of making sure they're on the breast more, so that your body can start making lots of milk. Very frequent feeding is thought to help your milk come in, which is usually day 3 to 5. You have milk there, but it's a different kind of milk. And the frequent feeding helps your long-term milk supply. An unsettled newborn is not a reflection of you not having enough milk or your parenting. It is normal newborn behaviour. Here are some key things to help keep everything calm and to carry on. Have skin-to-skin contact with your baby. Research shows this reduces crying. They may cry louder and more angrily as you undress them because they are trying to communicate, "No, I want warmth and comfort. Why aren't you listening?" When you get to skin, they should calm down. White noise, background noise, or playing the music you listen to during pregnancy can help babies to settle. Don't have too many visitors on day one. All of those different voices and smells can be an overwhelming experience for a newborn. Whilst they're adjusting to life outside the womb, being passed around can be stressful. Let your baby get used to their new surroundings gradually and get comfort from the people and smells they already know. Your baby's feelings. No matter how responsive you are to picking your baby up, sometimes babies will continue to cry. This tends to reach a peak at about 6 weeks, and the sound of your baby crying can be stressful. Frequent crying is not a reflection on your parenting, so please don't doubt your parenting ability. You're doing an amazing job of caring for a tiny human who is totally reliant on you. Newborns are learning what it's like to feel hungry, alone, and tired, which is a lot going on. As unnerving as these sensations can be, all you can do is help your baby to learn that they will be relieved and they can trust you. In the postnatal haze, leaving a baby to cry out can be tempting for some parents, but leaving a newborn baby to cry alone regularly can also be harmful and stressful. You might have read headlines recently in the media saying that leave your baby to cry is the best way to get an infant into a sleep routine. This came from a study that did not include babies under 7 months old, so it is not relevant to a newborn or any babies under 7 months old. Newborns need responsive parenting, and it is not advisable to leave a newborn to cry it out. A newborn baby should be protected from stress as much as possible so that they can spend their energy on development and growth. That said, if you need a short break, which is perfectly reasonable and okay to admit, by the way, get someone else to take over or leave your baby in a safe place and have a break. It's not realistic for all parents to never put their crying baby down, particularly unsettled or restless babies. You may need a break in order to be the best version of yourself. Having a break is different to using the cry out method. If someone else is able to take over, it doesn't really matter who it is, as long as they are caring and nurturing, your baby will generally feel less stressed. I have comforted hundreds of babies over the years, and most of them soon settle. I don't doubt every single one knew I wasn't their mum, but I was a warm, caring comforter, letting the baby know, "You're safe and I'm listening. It's scary being out here, I know. You're going to be okay." Ask for help from those you have planned to have around you in those early days. Coping with crying. All babies cry because it is their only form of communication, although I'm sure you already gathered that. Some researchers believe that babies are born about 3 months before they are physically ready to enter the world in order for them to be able to fit through the pelvis, which is why they need so much looking after from you. Some specialists believe that if a human baby were born with the maturity of a chimpanzee, pregnancy would last 17 months. Can you imagine? This theory is another reason that people refer to the first 3 months of a baby's life as the fourth trimester. Most parents, especially with their first baby, worry when their baby is crying and think they are doing something wrong. The truth is, we do not always know or find out why some babies cry more and for longer periods than others. But there are a few common reasons that your baby may be crying, so here is a checklist to go through. Is your baby hungry? Young babies are hungry very frequently, sometimes every 2 hours. Do they have a wet or dirty nappy? This can be an uncomfortable sensation, so check and change regularly. Wind. It's a myth that breastfed babies don't need winding. They can do, even from a young age. So try gently winding by holding them up near one shoulder and use circular motions with a flat hand and then pat. Too hot or too cold? The ideal room temperature is 16 to 20 degrees Celsius. Are they startled? Was there a sudden noise, or maybe suddenly they realise they are separate from you and need a cuddle? Colic. This usually affects babies from 3 weeks to 4 months, and it is quite common. Babies with colic will usually cry excessively for no apparent reason, go red in the face, and bring their knees up to their chest. It's a bit of an umbrella term used for a range of possible causes, although the word colic comes from the Greek kolikos, meaning of the colon. It is thought to be caused by cramps from wind, intolerances, feeling stressed, growth of the immature digestive system, and/or muscle spasms. Gentle baby massage, if you have learned this, when your baby is happy and alert, can help. There are also some medications available to buy, but ask your midwife or health visitor about these first. Tired. Sometimes it's not as easy as you may think it is for them to sleep. Some babies get overtired or overstimulated, especially if they have just had different people handling them. Something else could be causing discomfort, like a thread wrapped around the toe or uncomfortable clothing. Do a quick check. Seek help from your midwife or health visitor if you are worried about your baby's crying or signs of distress. Sleep and routine. To be honest, there is no way of getting away from sleepless nights at first, but I promise it gets better. Within the fourth trimester, you can't have or make any bad sleep habits, and you can't spoil a newborn. Also, your baby has no real concept of day and night yet. Their circadian rhythm is immature, meaning their melatonin, the sleepy hormone, production is a bit all over the place. Newborns want to feed more at night, and that is instinctive to them. As mentioned, they are still very much an extension of your body and will want to be on you, feeding, or with you a lot of their waking hours. This is normal newborn behaviour. However, there is no harm in implementing an easy routine early on if you want to. In fact, some research suggests that a flexible routine for babies under 8 weeks reduces crying. By routine, I don't mean any form of sleep training or rigidity. Trials have shown that sleep training doesn't work in babies under 3 months old anyway. What we do know is that babies like patterns, habits, and cues. You can keep a routine very low effort by sticking to just doing a few simple things every night. Perhaps skin to skin in dim lighting, playing the same calming song, followed by feed, then bed. When you attend to them during the night, just turn on a dim night light rather than the main bedroom light too. This starts to introduce the idea of a nighttime routine. You can also introduce a lot of daylight in the morning and say good morning every morning. Studies have found that babies exposed to more natural light in the day slept better at night. An early routine works for some mums, and others hate the idea of it or feel like it's an added unnecessary pressure. Whatever you decide, don't expect too much too soon. Do what is most suitable for you and your family. Trust your mum instinct here and have confidence that you are doing what is right for you. The newborn brain. A young baby's brain is like a sponge, soaking up experiences and recording patterns. The structure of the infant brain is highly complex and designed to be ready to learn. We are born with all the neurons we will ever need. That's around 86 to 100 billion. But what babies need to do is make synaptic connections and strengthen pathways between neurons. As newborns make those connections, their ability to use particular areas of the brain start to develop. It's a bit like dot to dot. From birth to the age of 3 is the fastest rate of brain development in the entire human lifespan. Up to 65% of their energy intake is spent on the brain, compared to around 20% in adults. And within the first year of life, a baby's brain doubles in weight. There's an awful lot going on in there. The pathways that are used the most are strengthened, and the ones that aren't used die off. This process is called pruning. If you regularly show your baby love, respond to their needs, and build trust, their brain will remember those experiences forever. One of the keys to helping your baby make connections is simply love and responsive parenting. Sue Gerhardt has a whole book dedicated to this called Why Love Matters. We are emotional creatures dependent on feelings. Newborns don't have mature thought processes yet. They go more by feeling. The phenomenon known as failure to thrive that you may have heard of was discovered by a very cruel experiment on monkeys. I really don't condone what the researchers did. But the only understanding we can take from this research was that primates need to feel comfort and attachment in order to thrive, not just survive. We also know that babies are seriously damaged for the rest of their lives if they are not attached to or feel love from a human. Those are extremes, but they show how our very existence as humans is based on feelings, not just thoughts. Just like monkeys, human babies thrive with emotional attachment and bonding. Babies need to be dependent before they can be independent. Affection is like the electrical tape that bonds neurons together. Once the connection among neurons is established, affection comes in and makes the bond so strong it can never be undone. Dr. Flavio Cunha. Scientists are now discovering the huge impact environment has on infant development. Many experts agree that you cannot judge anything separate from its environment, and epigenetics, additional information layered on top of the sequence of letters that makes up DNA, means certain genes can be switched on and off. In other words, the environment your baby grows up in significantly influences their understanding of the world and their personality. Your baby has so much to learn. We take for granted that when someone jumps up in the air, gravity will bring them back down. Your baby doesn't understand the simplest general rules of the universe and won't do for a while. Nothing is predictable yet, and this can be a bit overwhelming at times. Plus, things change extremely quickly. For example, your baby's head circumference suddenly increases in size when they are going through a growth spurt, which explains why their behaviour can change so much from one day to the next. Just when you thought you had nailed this parenting stuff, their needs change. Don't worry about momentary setbacks. They happen often, especially where sleep and feeding are concerned. Ask any parent and they will tell you, it's just a phase, and there are so many phases. Some will feel good, some not so good, and they will keep changing with minimal to no warning. Always remember, you are doing an amazing job. Key points. Your baby's brain is ready to learn, and loving comfort helps to shape it. Skin to skin equals communication between nervous systems. Leaving a baby alone to cry is stressful for your baby. If you need help, ask for help and get someone to take over. Your baby will be just fine with someone else holding them. Babies need their dependents to be met before they can learn to be independent. What you really need to know about breastfeeding. Breast milk has been evolving for millions of years and provides optimum nutrition for your baby. But facts about breastfeeding and the phrase breast is best isn't going to help you at 3 a.m. when you're tired, sore, and shuffling over to your hungry baby. Perhaps it's time we abandon simple slogans and focus on how to rather than why to. It is impossible for me to tell you everything you may need to know about breastfeeding in this section, as there are so many variables involved. So what I have done is focus on the key things that are evidence-based and recommended by most professionals. It is also important to start by saying there is a huge difference between reading about breastfeeding and actually experiencing it. It is different for every single woman. Some take to it immediately, whilst others struggle immensely. It's a very natural thing, but it doesn't always come naturally. The most important message to take from this section is to remember that millions of women breastfeed healthy babies and millions of women also formula feed healthy babies. I'm not going to sugarcoat how hard breastfeeding can be at times. Britain's low breastfeeding rate is not linked to women not wanting to breastfeed. It's often down to lack of support, unrealistic expectations of postnatal women, and a lack of education surrounding normal behaviour for breastfed babies. We naturally want to do the very best for our children, so we give it our best. But it is important to remember that your mental health is paramount. Your baby needs you to make the choices that are right for you, not right for anyone else, including social media influencers, the press, and any other mums. Like birth, you can have a plan for breastfeeding, but you may have to deviate from it, and if you need to, it's okay. Please, please, please do not feel guilty if you give your baby formula for whatever reason. You are doing the best for you and your baby, and if that means formula feeding, so be it. You are not failing anyone, no guilt attached. That said, I urge everyone to give breastfeeding a go. There are so many well-known health benefits for your baby, such as boosting their immunity and reducing the risk of asthma and diabetes, and many more. Just breastfeeding your baby even once can be helpful, especially if it is the first feed, because this helps to colonise the gut. So many mums tell me that being able to bond with their baby is the best feeling in the world, especially when they are around 6 months and life is so busy. Breastfeeding gives you the time to be alone with your baby, somewhere peaceful, just bonding. If you choose not to breastfeed at all, then bottle feeding is just as good of an opportunity to bond with your baby. Keep them lovely and close throughout the feeds, so they can really see your facial features. In those early weeks, try to keep feeds quite intimate and private by only allowing a small number, you and your partner ideally, to feed your baby. This protected time and feeds don't need to go on forever. The early weeks are the most important. Breastfeeding and immunity. Thanks to a few badass evolutionary biologists, like Katie Hind, I'm able to share some cutting-edge facts about how breast milk actually works and what it does for your baby's immune system, so that you can make your own informed choice. A well-functioning immune system is vital for overall health throughout life, and only fairly recently are scientists and doctors really starting to understand the role of the immune system, inflammation, and gut health. A newborn baby needs help to build their immune system right from the start. While newborns arrive equipped with some natural immunity, they still need a significant amount to help build on this foundation. Breastfeeding helps build your baby's immune system and gut colonization. The nutritional and immunological components of breast milk change daily according to the specific individual needs of your baby. Some fairly new research has come out that tells us that when your baby is on the breast, some of your baby's saliva is suctioned into your nipple so that you can adapt your milk especially for your baby to help them fight specific infections. Katie Hine, from her TED Talk, What We Don't Know About Mother's Milk, said, "In 2015, researchers found that the mixture of breast milk and baby saliva, specifically baby saliva, causes a chemical reaction that produces hydrogen peroxide that can kill staph and salmonella. As well as fighting potential infection, as Katie Hind mentions in her TED Talk, breast milk contains the perfect combination of proteins, fat, carbohydrates, and nutrients that your baby needs. It also contains sugars called oligosaccharides that are unique to human milk. Your baby can't digest these oligosaccharides, and they only exist to feed the microbes in your baby's digestive system. The latest research into babies born via C-section and their gut health showed some interesting findings. Previous studies have been fairly consistent in their findings, showing that babies born via C-section develop a different gut microbiome compared to babies that are born vaginally. These differences have been linked to increased chances of C-section babies developing autoimmune diseases like asthma and eczema. However, the most recent research, at the time of writing, shows a different picture. The research took poo samples from 596 babies born in UK hospitals. Samples were collected in the weeks following birth and then again between 6 to 9 months old. They found that 80% of the C-section babies had hospital-acquired bacteria in their gut at birth, compared to the 50% of babies born vaginally. But those differences largely disappeared in the samples from babies aged 6 to 9 months. All of the babies studied were healthy. This is in line with previous research, and also tells us that, yes, there is a difference in the microbiome when you compare C-section babies to vaginally born babies. But there is no evidence from this study that this has implications for long-term health. It is more likely that many other factors like breastfeeding and early life exposures play a large part in the microbes that colonize a baby's gut. Colostrum is key. The first milk you'll produce is called colostrum, and it is low in fat but high in carbohydrates and protein, making it quickly and easily digestible. It also contains lactoferrin. This stuff is hardcore when it comes to fighting infection and protecting the gut. So, even if you breastfeed for a few days and get the colostrum in, that really helps your baby. There are far more white cells in colostrum than in milk that comes later on, and it has the most amount of vitamins in it, particularly vitamin A, immune boosting, and vitamin K, hemorrhage preventing. The highly complex components of colostrum also help develop immature organs. If you are struggling with feeding and did manage to harvest some colostrum, just that tiny one meal can make a difference too. Now you're up to date with the latest science about what breast milk does, let's get on to the tips that should help you establish breastfeeding. Getting off to a positive start. Skin-to-skin contact at birth is one of the main factors that will contribute to you meeting your breastfeeding goals. Although there is plenty of research to suggest this, the benefits go beyond any scientific explanation. And when you're in skin-to-skin contact with your baby, you'll know just what I mean by this. If you plan to breastfeed, ideally, you should try to feed within the first 6 hours of birth. Your body needs to get the message that you are breastfeeding, and a cocktail of hormones will take over to enhance your milk production. Your body is on the lookout for these signals more attentively in the first 6 hours. If your baby needs to go to special care, you can put them on the breast within the 6 hour window. Then you can hand express, because it's the early and frequent extraction of milk that helps to establish supply. Your midwife can help you to do this. Understanding newborn feeding behaviour. Understanding normal newborn behaviour plays a huge part in a woman's confidence around breastfeeding. I think it will help to know that your newborn's tummy is about the size of a marble, which is why they need very regular feeding. This is normal, so ignore anyone that tells you their baby sleeps through the night. Newborns aren't designed to do that, and most breastfeeding mums are up every couple of hours to feed. Frequent feeding and cluster feeding, where your baby wants to feed at close intervals, are both normal behaviours for most breastfed newborns. If you supplement with a bottle at this time and don't stimulate your breast regularly, it can disrupt breastfeeding. Your supply can be reduced, and if given a lot of formula at one time, your baby's stomach can be stretched from a formula feed, making it more difficult for you to then satisfy your baby's feeding needs. Those first few weeks of breastfeeding are intense, but it really does get easier after that. For breastfeeding, your baby needs to be close to your body and to have their head, shoulders, and body in a straight line. To have their chin and lower lip touching the breast first. Your nipple needs to be near their nose rather than the mouth at first. To have their head free to tilt back. Try not to hold your baby's head. Support the shoulders and neck, but avoid pushing their head. To have their mouth wide open, looking like they are about to yawn. To take a large mouthful of the breast tissue, not just the nipple. To have more areola, the small bumps around your nipple, above their top lip than below. Baby wearing and breastfeeding. Baby wearing is a great way for encouraging breastfeeding and bonding because it provides easy access to the breast for your baby and easy access to the top of your baby's scrumptiously smelling head. You can also take your baby out and about hands-free or pop them in your sling if you need to get on with something else at home. If you are using a sling, make sure you do so safely. Put the baby in an upright position with a straight, flat back, and check that their head is supported. Keep close enough to kiss and in view at all times. The rooting instinct. Your newborn has a rooting reflex and may start looking for food. This usually happens within the first hour of birth. They often start by rubbing their head around your chest, which marks their smell and works like a sat-nav for their next meal. Later on, they follow the sat-nav and remember they have been there before and fed. So, as strange as this sounds, try not to wash this off until the next feed after birth. That's usually only a few hours, but if you want to wash it off, go for it. Your familiar face. Initially, your baby doesn't yet have the ability to see or focus all that well. By keeping your baby close, they can start to recognise your face. Research has now shown that this can happen as early as 3 weeks old. If you are bottle, syringe, or cup feeding, try to have your baby nice and close to you for that early bonding and facial recognition. This reduces cortisol levels, stress levels in your baby, and makes them feel protected and calm by being able to recognise a familiar face. Is your baby getting enough milk? A baby that is alert, feeding well, and has wet and dirty nappies is usually a well-fed baby who is getting enough food. Sometimes there can be a focus on baby's weight, and it is normal for exclusively breastfed babies to lose weight in the first few days and therefore be below birth weight at their day 5 weigh-in. If your midwife is concerned about your baby's weight loss, he or she will calculate it. Generally, it should be less than 10% weight loss. It is commonly 7 to 8% of birth weight according to recent research. And ensure that your baby does not need any further input from pediatricians or a feeding plan. When assessing if your baby is getting enough, it is best to focus on your baby's behaviour and what's coming out the other end. Are they alert and waking, feeding well, weeing and pooing? That's great. On that note, don't be alarmed if you have a little girl and find some mucous vaginal discharge that's blood streaked. This is called pseudo-menstruation and is caused by her having been exposed to your hormones. However, if you chose not to have vitamin K, you need to let your midwife know as soon as possible. Making breastfeeding work for you. As mentioned, although natural, breastfeeding does not come naturally to many new mums. Making breastfeeding as comfortable as possible gives you a better chance of reaching your breastfeeding goals and continuing. Here are some tips that have worked for women in my care. You can get some of this before baby arrives, or get your partner to pop out and buy them now if you need. Support from other women can also be incredibly helpful, particularly in the early days. Invest in a few breastfeeding bras if you're planning on exclusively breastfeeding for 6 months, the recommended advice. Your breasts get swollen and tender, so get one that opens completely when you take the clip down. You don't want any restrictive straps. Try them on before your baby's here, so you know it's easy to use and comfy. Breastfeeding pillows are great for supporting the weight of your baby and can help raise your baby to the height you need to bring your baby to the breast without you bending forward. A natural nipple balm. You can start using this before baby arrives to prepare your nipples and use after each feed. Invest in a decent breast pump. There are some serious advances in technology, and you can get hand pumps and electric pumps. There are now even portable pumps on the market that you can wear in your bra. These are great for when you're out and about or planning on going back to work. Pumping can help with supply and can also help to give you a break while your partner does a feed. Giving breast milk in a bottle is only recommended when breastfeeding is well established, and some women prefer not to give their baby breast milk in a bottle. Do whatever works for you. Get as much free help from the NHS as possible and ask to see a breastfeeding consultant early on, especially if you have flat or inverted nipples. You can absolutely breastfeed, but you may need a little more support with attachment so you don't get sore nipples. If you give birth in hospital, don't leave until you're happy with your baby's feeding. If you rush home, you'll probably regret it and may need to come back in. Join a breastfeeding group, either in your community or on social media. Some mums have said that they have found some groups a bit full-on and pressurising, so perhaps see what the vibe is like before baby arrives. If you're reading mostly random rants, leave and look elsewhere. Sling Meets, peer-to-peer supported meetings facilitated by volunteers who are experienced baby wearers, are great and are around most of the country, so have a look into one in your area. Watch videos of how to breastfeed online. Most of us have not seen a woman breastfeed. Just watching breastfeeding videos will give you a wealth of knowledge. Ask someone you feel comfortable who is with you currently or has breastfed to help you with tips too. It's great to have a real-life support. Other mums who have breastfed will be able to share their tips and help you out. Nipple pain. One of the top reasons women stop breastfeeding earlier than they planned is due to nipple pain. Start nipple care early on by using a nipple cream after every feed to help your nipples stay comfortable. If you are in pain, it's likely that the latch is not quite right. Try a change of position and make sure you're comfy. Relatch your baby and aim for a deep latch. You want your baby to have a proper mouthful of breast tissue and not just sucking on the end of your nipple. If the pain is so bad that you're dreading the next feed, make sure you get help right away. You can always call your community midwife. Some women swear by healing cups. They help to prevent, protect, and heal cracked nipples. You can get online, and some prefer balms. You may also want to ask about checking for a tongue tie if you have nipple pain and difficulty latching. Feeding after a C-section. Try different positions to take the pressure off your tummy, like lying on your side or with your baby's head in your hand, spine on your forearm, and their feet under your arm. Babies born by C-section may cough up mucus in the first few days. They are clearing their lungs after birth, so your baby may not be interested in feeding for very long. It is important to keep putting your baby to the breast or express breast milk every few hours so that your body continues to produce milk. Once the mucus has been cleared, your baby should feed more often and for longer. How long do you want to breastfeed for? I think it is worth taking a moment to think about how long you would like to breastfeed for, if at all. What are your personal breastfeeding goals? What do you want to achieve on your breastfeeding journey? This choice is your own, and no one has the right to question or judge you for that. If you plan to breastfeed for months ahead, that goal will take some persistence. One top priority is to encourage and protect a good milk supply. Without a good supply, you may not be able to exclusively breastfeed, and there is a critical time you need to pay particular attention to, days 3 to 5. So let's look at this in more detail. There is a key window of opportunity that affects long-term milk supply. The scientific term for describing this window is lactogenesis 1 to lactogenesis 2. It is when you go from producing colostrum, the first milk you may have leaked or expressed in pregnancy, to the milk you'll produce for the rest of the time you feed your baby. This is your milk coming in. It is normal to not have a lot of milk before day 3. Many women say to me, "I have no milk," around this time, and although it feels like it, it's not the case. You do have milk, it's just a different kind of milk. Ignore the amount in pre-made formula bottles. This isn't a realistic reflection of what your baby needs. Feeding your baby every few hours is hard work, but it is worth persisting for those first 5 days. If you don't extract milk regularly during this window, your milk supply can be affected. It may sound simple now, but it can be hard work and exhausting, particularly when you are already tired and recovering from birth. To extract milk, you can feed regularly, hand express, and some women choose to pump. If your baby is well and waking regularly for feeds, it is fine to feed them on demand. But if you have a sleepy, small, or jaundiced baby, this is different, and you need to either wake them for feeds or protect your own supply by expressing. Usually, this is if your baby needs to go to special care baby unit and you are unable to put them to the breast. You will get extra support to do this. Your body is perfectly designed for breastfeeding. Although there are some very rare genetic or health reasons why women can't breastfeed, our bodies are very smart. They need to know what's going on so they can make some decisions about investment. Some women worry about their milk supply, and they leave their boobs to fill up, thinking they will make more milk if they do so. This can have the opposite effect, as milk production works on a demand-supply basis. The more you give out, the more you need to produce. Milk contains protein, which inhibits milk production, so your body knows when to slow down, and you will produce less milk if your breasts are too full. So, Allowing your breasts to fill up tells your body, stop making milk, it's not being used. Protect this time. You need to focus on feeding until it is established and you feel confident and happy. You may think you want visitors, but this is when your body is really getting into the flow of breastfeeding. So maybe hold off on the visitors if you can until after this window. Your boobs can look up to double the size, become quite sore, and you'll probably feel the effects of the new hormonal cocktail emotionally. Most women get teary and can cry for no apparent reason. Don't worry, it should pass. The various hormones released are really special in terms of human biology as you go into lactogenesis too. If you think visitors will help, do what is best for you, but maybe plan to put people on hold while you're at this stage and only have very close family, midwives, and doula, if you have one, over. Focus on you. Not so long ago, in terms of human evolution, and today in many parts of the world, a breastfeeding mum mainly feeds, sleeps, and the partner protects, hunts, or shops and feeds the mum. In the Western world, postnatal life can be very different, and there's a bit of a disconnection between what mums think they should be doing and what they really should be doing, especially if you have breastfeeding goals. Stay in your little breastfeeding bubble as long as you can, and don't let any external pressures pop it. This new baby zone will only happen a few select times in your life, and many second-time mums say to me that they wish they had been more relaxed first time and just stayed at home and ignored everything else. If you have home helpers, partner, mum, friend, etc., then pre-warn them that you want to breastfeed and you will need to just focus on the feeding, recovering, eating, and sleeping for the first week or so. Tell them you won't be doing much else other than that, so you'll need them to cook or sort things out at home because feeding your baby and recovering have to come first. We are mammals, and if you observe mammals of all types, the early focus on feeding is normal for a new mother and has been for thousands of years. If you try and socialise and fit in lots of visitors, this can tire you out for feeding or may make you feel like you need to skip feeds, just as you are getting the hang of it. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. Some women breastfeed for years, some top up or mix feed their baby, and some breastfeed for just the first few colostrum days. Whatever you do and why is not anyone else's business. But women have told me they feel like they need to pick a team, breast or bottle. No new mum should ever feel like that. If you want or need to give your baby formula for whatever reason, then it doesn't mean you have to join the other team. Just do what works for you. If you have long-term breastfeeding goals, you now know about the window of opportunity and making sure you protect that. But if you can't or it doesn't go to plan, it's okay. Do what you can at the time, and if you need to change course, then go for it. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. You can create your own feeding plan that works for you and your baby. You're the boss. You really have got this. Forget past mistakes. Forget failures. Forget everything except what you're going to do now. William Durant. Key points. Get all the professional help and advice you can from the NHS, videos, friends, and online networks. Protect your milk supply. Feeding early and feeding often can help. If possible, put the baby on the breast to get things going within 6 hours of birth. Skin-to-skin contact at birth is key, whatever type of birth you have. It significantly increases the success of breastfeeding. If you can't do this at birth, do it as soon as possible for as long as possible. The fourth trimester is the time to have all the skin-to-skin time that you can fit in. Get comfortable before a feed. It's worth spending time to get it right. You may want something under your arm or shoulder. Being uncomfortable is not only unpleasant, but it's not sustainable for an entire feed and may lead to back pain. Note how well you're both doing by the wet and dirty nappies you're getting. What's coming out reflects what's going in. It doesn't have to be all or nothing with breast and bottle feeding. Do what works for you. Skincare for your baby. Newborn skin is beautiful, and biologically, it's amazing too. In the womb, your baby has been in a controlled environment with amniotic fluid, and their skin is a product of that environment at birth. We all know that baby skin is delicate and sensitive, but the physiology of the skin is rarely explained. Yet how you care for your baby's skin now may have long-term implications. Here, we will run through how you can help protect your baby's skin for life. The skin is the human body's largest organ and is a major defence mechanism. It regulates temperature, acts as a barrier to infection, balances water and electrolytes, stores fats, and helps humans to stay warm in the cold. Newborn skin is around 5 times more absorbent than ours, so rubbing anything on your baby's skin will be absorbed quickly. Babies are not born with mature skin that functions like ours. It takes at least 4 weeks to build up protective natural enzymes that help to develop a protective barrier. Advice to parents on this subject is often inconsistent, which can be a problem. You may see the term suitable for newborns being marketed to you on wash products. But remember that the baby products industry is very competitive and lucrative. Experts agree that no product should be marketed as safe for newborns, and even products labelled sensitive, natural, or organic may still contain ingredients that are potentially harmful. Below are some key points about your baby's skin. Babies are born with an alkaline skin surface. It has an average pH of 6.34, whereas an adult's is around 5.5. However, within days, the pH falls to about 4.95, acidic, forming the acid mantle. This is a fine film that rests on the surface of the skin, acting as a protective barrier. Its delicate balance must be maintained if the skin is to achieve an optimum level of protection. There is no evidence to prove that acid mantle exists beyond the first few days, so baby products, soaps, or moisturisers cannot become or replace the acid mantle, because it is the body alone that produces and maintains it. Your baby is covered in a white, sticky layer, the vernix caseosa, VC. This cheesy varnish is a highly sophisticated biofilm containing a ton of antimicrobial peptides, proteins, and fatty acids. These combine to form a protective barrier that is not only antibacterial, but also antifungal. A recent scientific paper about VC states, studies confirm that maintaining an intact epidermal barrier by minimizing exposure to soap and by not removing VC are simple measures to improve skin barrier function. The World Health Organization adds, lipid-rich vernix is a natural moisturizer and skin cleanser and has wound-healing, anti-infective, and antifungal properties. Therefore, it is essential that vernix is not removed at birth. Overdue babies are sometimes born with dry and cracked skin. This is usually because the VC has already been absorbed. It will usually peel off and leave perfect skin underneath without any help. UK rates of childhood eczema are among the highest in the world. The steady rise in infant skin conditions appear to be coincident with the introduction of manufactured baby products over 50 years ago. Penelope Jajessa Schaefer has a brilliant TED Talk called The Toxic Baby, and she explains how easy it is to get chemicals into the body via the skin. Penelope explains how we now have 30,000 to 50,000 more chemicals in our bodies than our grandparents had. Because newborn skin is so absorbent and vulnerable to damage, I often tell mums, if you wouldn't feed it to your newborn, then don't put it on their skin. Unlike organic food, the legal standards for organic and natural cosmetic products aren't quite as tight. So the question of eating it works well when wondering about whether or not you should use it on your newborn skin. Of course, if you have been prescribed something, this is different. But in general, that is a good question to consider. To find certified organic products, there are 5 European certification bodies who have developed the Cosmetics Organic Standard, COSMOS, to try and standardise organic standards around the world. They have high standards, and to get a COSMOS certification for a product, it has to meet strict criteria with guaranteed organic ingredients. Sharon Trotter is an experienced midwife, mother of 5, and parenting consultant specialising in breastfeeding and neonatal skincare. She has been published in various peer-reviewed midwifery journals and textbooks regarding neonatal skincare and has a brilliant website called tipslimited.co.uk for both parents and professionals. There is a wealth of information from her work over the past 35 years on there, from breastfeeding and tongue tie to twins and travel tips. I read some of her research papers and dropped her an email one day. We have now been in contact over the past few years about neonatal skincare, as the amount of products I was seeing coming into hospital for newborns was starting to concern me. During our conversations, Sharon made a really good point. She said, "Research has taught us that we now know better exactly how the skin works and why protecting it from day one can and will have far-reaching benefits to a child as they grow older. It cannot be looked at in isolation, though. So a healthy pregnancy, early skin-to-skin contact, and breastfeeding, alongside water-only skincare for at least the first month of life, will all help to protect babies and children from the damaging effects of the modern world and all its dangers." After talking to Sharon and looking at the evidence available, I have come up with a simple list that consolidates the advice to best care for your newborn skin. Avoid bathing your newborn for at least the first 24 hours. Wait until their temperature has stabilised, or better still, wait until the umbilical cord stump has fallen off. Vernix should always be left to absorb naturally. Studies confirm that maintaining an intact epidermal barrier by minimising exposure to soap and by not removing vernix are simple measures to improve skin barrier function. When bathing or washing, use water only for the first month of life. This may contradict what you read elsewhere, but remember that this approach is recommended by leading health organisations. Bathing daily can dry out the skin. Bathing 2 or 3 times a week is enough. Avoid using washcloths in the first month because they can be too harsh on your baby's skin. Use your hands, cotton wool, organic is preferable, or a natural bamboo sponge instead. Ears, nose, and eyes should be left alone when washing, and cotton buds avoided. If your baby has sticky eyes, talk to your midwife, health visitor, or GP before using anything. Baby wipes should not be used until meconium has passed. After this, it is best to use wipes that are free from alcohol, parabens, phthalates, artificial colours, and perfumes. Shampoo is not needed until your baby is around a year old. After this, any shampoo used should be sulfate-free, usually listed as SLS and SLES. A thin layer of barrier cream can be used on the nappy area when you feel necessary, ideally free from preservatives, colours, perfumes, and clinically proven to be effective treatment for nappy rash. If you would like to massage your baby, the World Health Organization recommends using sunflower oil, not olive oil, and some hospitals recommend grapeseed oil. If you decide to use baby skincare products after 4 weeks, make sure that you read the labels carefully. Carry out a patch test before using any new products. At present, there's no evidence that using washing powders with enzymes, bio powders, or fabric conditioners will irritate your baby's skin. But knowing what we do about the sensitivity of neonatal skin, it makes sense to reducing chemical exposures if you can. One alternative is to use bicarbonate of soda in your wash. It won't cause harm if the clothes are on a hot wash and kills bacteria. Cord stump care. When we clamp and cut the cord, we leave a little stump that stays attached to your baby for up to 10 days, but usually falls off sooner. You should avoid handling this little stump, but it's fine to touch if you need to and won't hurt to move because there aren't any nerve cells in the cord. Always make sure you've got clean hands before touching the cord, as there's a risk you can introduce infection. It is natural and normal for it to shrivel up, going from white and floppy to brown and crispy. One woman told me it reminded her of a pork scratching, and now I can't get that analogy out of my head when I see a dried up cord. Below are some key things you need to know about cord care. If it smells or there's redness around the area, ask your midwife to have a look ASAP, because it could be a sign of infection. Keep the area around the cord clean and dry. Check during nappy changes. The nappy should be folded back at each change so the stump is outside of the nappy until the cord falls off. This helps it to air dry. Poo explosions mean a risk of contamination of the cord if it's left inside the nappy. Only use water and cotton wool to clean the area if dirty. Avoid using antiseptics unless it has been advised to you by a paediatrician. Avoid bathing your baby fully until the separation of the umbilical cord is complete, so you don't disrupt the flora at the base of the cord and potentially hinder the natural process of cord separation. Your baby's bum. Being concerned about what comes out of your baby's bum must be instinctive, because all new mums are fascinated by their baby's little bums and poo. Research backs up my thoughts here. Scientists found that new mums prefer the smell of their own baby's poo to that of other babies. Some mums have confessed that the smell of other babies' nappies make them gag, but their own baby's poo is a guilty pleasure. It's unlikely that anyone else will admit that to you, so I thought I would. It's normal to like the smell of your baby's poo. In the first few days after birth, your baby will pass some strange-looking stuff called meconium. It's not like normal poo, because it is just the contents of what your baby could swallow in your tummy. That's delicious things like epithelial cells, lungo, mucus, amniotic fluid, bile, and water. Appetizing. Meconium is a bit like Marmite. Dark, sticky, and difficult to get off. So try to change your baby as soon as they have pooed this meck, as midwives call it, because it's easier to get off whilst it's wet and sticky. You'll probably get about 2 of these meck nappies per day, maybe more. Around day 3 or 4, you may notice a slight change in poo colour as it becomes greener. It's a sign your baby is digesting milk well. Yay! By day 5, you should have noticed another change. Your baby starts to pass yellow or light green English mustard looking stuff. This is a sign your baby has passed all that meconium, which is good. If you don't notice this change by day 5, call your midwife for advice. just because she may want to assess a few other things to make sure your baby is feeding well. As your baby gets older, you'll notice the poo is yellower. It should stay soft or even a bit runny, and for the first 4 weeks, you should see at least 2 poos a day. Sometimes breastfed babies can go a couple of days without pooing, or they may seem to poo all the time. Either can be normal, but talk to your midwife about this so they can double-check everything else as well. Tip: easy nappy changing. When you're changing your baby's nappy, roll or fold up the dirty nappy under your baby first. Clean your baby, then pick him or her up onto one shoulder. Put the clean nappy down, open it up first, then lay him or her on the nappy, rather than try to slide the nappy under your baby. Key points. Newborn skin is unique and goes through a highly sophisticated process after birth. Cosmetic products cannot replace or become part of this process. It takes your baby at least 4 weeks to develop their own delicate protective barrier. Washing with soap can disrupt this natural process and hinder the skin's ability to do its job properly. So experts around the globe advise you only use water during this time. No wash products should be marketed as safe for newborns.